Pardon, Maggie. Oh, let me turn this thing on. Am I on?
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, as I already had given my official greeting, today, if you had looked into your bulletins, the subject matter today is train up a child. Now, about 2 weeks ago at the Hilo Seventh-day Adventist Church, they had a education Sabbath where the Manaloa school kids came up and sang a variety of songs. Even the preschool did a bunch of skits and songs and memory verses and so on and so forth. It was a great program, and wedged in between that, I gave a sermon, this very sermon that I'm giving today. I got such a response from it that I decided that, well, I'm coming to Honokaw, I'm gonna give it another try. So, praise the Lord. Before we get started, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Precious Lord, our children are our greatest assets. The things that will carry, these are the people that will carry on the work well after we're thought of, well after when we want to send out people and we want them to be represented. We want them to be our kids. And not for our glory, but for your glory, Lord. So as this sermon is preached today, may your words be spoken through your servant. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, right. Word education. What is education? I looked up in the dictionary and it gave this meaning. The act or process of imparting or acquiring general knowledge, developing the powers of reasoning and judgment, and generally a preparing of oneself or others intellectually for mature life. Have you guys experienced all of that in your education? No? The second meaning that had is the act or the process of imparting or acquiring particular knowledge or skills for a profession. Okay? Now, a lot of us can understand that, going to college, getting an education, going out there so that you can learn a specific skill for a specific job to go out there into the world and do your part as a citizen. But education is a lot more than that, especially what the Bible has to say. And we're going to cover four aspects of education today. But before we get started, reminds of this story, of course, a fictitious story, of a college football player. And this was at the University of Hawaii, and they were in the Aloha Bowl playing this unbelievable final game of the season when all of a sudden, over the announcement, the college professors made an announcement that said, I'm afraid that our quarterback today cannot play in the final game of the season. He can't play in the final game because he is flunking history. And the crowd, I mean, this was a Portuguese guy, you know, was a quarterback, and he said, I can't believe this. And half of the Aloha Stadium was all like Portuguese, you know, all screaming and yelling, and they were like, boo, boo. And so all of the staff of the faculty got together and says, hey, we better do something. There's going to be a mob against us. What are we going to do? And he says, I tell you what, the history teacher said, I'll go up there and I'll give him one history question. If he answers it correctly, I'll pass him with a D and then he can play. All right, fair enough. So all the staff got together and he said, we'll agree with that. So he went up to the microphone and he called the quarterback and he says, all right, we've decided that if you answer one correct question, that's it. The one will pass you and you can play in this final game. And the crowd went wild, wild, wild. Well, the question was, who was the first president of the United States? And it was a big hush in the crowd, a big hush in the crowd. All of a sudden, the quarterback, he was sitting there and he was like, George Washington? And a big hush in the crowd. Nobody said a word. All of a sudden, half of the Aloha Stadium started chanting, give him another chance. Give him another chance. Some of you might catch on later in the sermon, but George Washington was our first president of the United States, yet half of the stands was Portuguese, just like myself, so you never know, right? That's what education. Oh, now you catch. Good, good, good. All right, I'm not alone up here. Education. Was that all education was boiled up to a question about who was our first president? I hope not. Malcolm Forbes quoted this: "The purpose of education is to replace an empty mind with an open one." So today, I hope we can have an open mind today. Thanks for the applause. I hope we can have an open mind today about what the Lord has to give us. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it's a very well-known verse. Simply says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." And a lot of people say, turn from it? What do you mean? The Ten Commandments, or coming to church, or what is exactly is he not going to turn from? Well, obviously, one of the smartest men in the entire world wrote that, Solomon, and so he went and imparted that. He was talking to his own children and saying, and talking to the parents of them and say, hey, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There are four ways to train your children. I don't know if any of you have ever thought of it like this, but after I had mulled it over a couple of months ago, all of a sudden it came to me, and in a form of this. The four ways to train your child is first in the home, the second is in the church, the third is in the school, and the fourth is in the world. Those are the four aspects of growing up, basically. If those are mixed up in any way, shape, or form, you're headed for disaster, and I'll show you how this works. First, the home. Did you know that the first pre-born training of your child should receive is from God? And you might be saying, what do you mean pre-born training? How many of you, especially you fathers, have rubbed the big tummy and said, oh, and you pray over that child even before, and you sing lullabies and you sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, and the child isn't even born yet. How many of you have done that? Right? You sang and prayed and preached over your child, and he hasn't even been born yet. That's what I'm talking about. So when that child pops out of the womb, they're singing, and Jesus loves me, just like my daughter did. No, I'm kidding. She didn't do that, but she kind of cried a little bit. But can you imagine that the training that this child will receive starts even before they're born? How can that happen? Simply this. As a parent, the training should begin with you as parents first, dedicating your lives to the Lord, making sure that your salvation is secured in Christ, so that when your child comes out, there's no question. They have no question in their mind, we're not sure about our Christianity, so we're going to pass that unsureness over to the next generation. Do I make myself clear? In Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now you're going to say, wait a minute. God even knew you before you were born. So if he already knew you, he's already implanting in you the tendency to search him, the tendency to want him and to need him even before you were born. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Awesome. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And appointing you as a prophet to the nations, you know what? What is a prophet? A prophet isn't only a person that declares bad news in the Old Testament against people and a lot of bad things happening. No, a prophet is prophesying the good news of Jesus Christ, his living, dying, and risen again, and saving our lives. Now, every single one of us should be able to prophesy that much. Amen? If we can't even prophesy that much, we should take our Christian cards off and hang it up until we get that straight. You understand? Now, let me tell you what this is. So, and listen to some of these things that I had thought about. It says, our forefathers fought for independence in our country, right? The problem is, We have families have twisted its intention in our home, the intention of independence. Families in the busy society have parents who are too busy to train their child and allow toys, games, and the media to to train them. Families today resemble the Simpson family rather than what God had intended. Now, for some of you, you might be going, the Simpson family? I don't even know the Simpsons. Well, it's a television show that's been on for quite a while. And I remember when this animated family sort of show came out, it showed disrespect to parents. It showed disrespect to one another. It showed how a child could lie and do all these kinds of things. And at the time that it came out, it was very offensive. And they were actually, people petitioned for it to be shut down. Well, when we see the kinds of programming that comes out today, the Simpsons are mild. Even the stuff on the Disney Channel is worse than that. Tell you the truth. So, basically, in 2011, it was an interesting year for me. I kind of ran down exactly what I had witnessed in 2011. And this is what I had witnessed. Did you know I had witnessed over 930 murders? I had witnessed more than 150 fornicative or adulterous relationships. I have witnessed over 40 homosexual relationships and at least 2,000 acts of bearing false witness or lying, and at least 300 counts of children not honoring their parents, and countless acts of people coveting what others have. All this was done at the convenience of my home with a click of a remote. Really? Is that how much that I have, that's how much I witnessed. After I had seen that, meanwhile, my child was witnessing all of this with me. You know what? My rationale was, well, my daughter, she's going to see this stuff anyway, you know, so why not show her now, right? Other times, we would send I would send Maggie to her room, and when a show would come on that was a little too much like Sodom and Gomorrah, I would send Maggie to her room, right? This is for mommy and daddy, not you, okay? But it was okay for mommy and daddy to watch. The very thing I told myself I wouldn't do as a parent was to create a double standard, yet there I was. In my own house, I was creating a double standard for my own daughter. So, I thought to myself, you know what? More importantly, as I would laugh at sitcoms at night, at homicide dramas, I was numbing myself to the voice of God in my own life. You understand what I'm saying? That's what was happening. So as a family, we decided that if the show wasn't good for Maggie, neither was it good for us, who deep down inside knew better. Amen? Or do we? Is the society have become so numb that we don't know better? I hope not. So we pulled the plug on our TV. We don't watch it anymore. We turn off the dish. So we just canceled our programming. We said, if it ain't good for her, it ain't good for us. And that's that. And it started from 2012. And I'm like, wow. My wife had been talking to me a long time about this. And you know what? The Holy Spirit finally convicted me and says, you know what? This is what we got to do. Now, what has happened since then? I noticed that our family has got connected a little more. And guess what? One of the major things that's happened with me is I'm getting 1 to 2 hours, sometimes even 3 hours more sleep. Amen? You know how much important sleep is, right? I was neglecting that, just watching the news and the next program after that, and the next program after that. And pretty soon it's 12 o'clock. And then the next morning I try and wake up and I'm in a daze. And this was happening day after day. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Yeah, well, I knew exactly what was wrong with me. I just didn't want to address the issue. So we decided to address that issue this year. I don't know if this is a problem with any of you in here. I'm just stating it for myself. But ask the Holy Spirit, is there something in my life that is blocking my ability to hear the Holy Spirit? I knew that that was one of the things. I'm a lot more sensitive to it, I could say for myself. Eleanor Fajarin says, the events of childhood do not pass, but repeat themselves like seasons of the years. You understand what I'm saying? None of these things that are continued from childhood just seasonally come over unless they're changed. So in Matthew 18, verse 6, it says, but if anyone causes one of these little children who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. You know what? I was the one that was should have put a millstone around my neck and drawn in the sea for exposing my daughter to what I was seeing. You know? And so I said, man, if there's anybody who should have had a millstone, it was me causing my daughter to sin. I decided to make that change. We as parents have the responsibility to train up a child in the Lord. And if we fail that responsibility, the world will have trained them right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. The biggest question to us is, are we as parents, born-again Christians, following the Lord? Do our children see the fear of God and the love in our homes lived out in our daily lives? Do they see that? The most important responsibility as parents is to lead your child to the Lord. Not the pastor, not the elders, not your neighbors, your friend, the school, or anybody, or the church school. The one to lead your child to the Lord is the parent. And so, for those of you who say, well, my children are up and grown and out already, well, it's not too late to pass your wisdom on to them so that they can pass it on to the next generation. Amen? So, that covers, basically, the home. The second training session is at the church. And what do we do? The second area to train your child in the Lord is at the church. We bring our children, even in little bassinets, to the little cradle room, and we sing them songs, and they're hearing this over and over again. And it used to just tickle my heart when Maggie would come home and sing these wonderful songs that she would hear. I would just almost tear up when I would hear my daughter singing songs to the Lord. Now, is my daughter an angel all of the time? Of course not. Neither was I. But all I know, it's imparted in her memory bank. It's able to be withdrawn at any time and taken seriously when the time is needed. The Lord can have, there is something that can be drawn on because it was brought to you by the home. We sing to our daughter all the time. We had music playing. In fact, we'd play Christian music to her as a child, going to sleep, waking up and stuff like that. That happened all the time in our household. Thank goodness for that. Now she's coming out singing all of the time, in the shower, wherever she's at. It's unbelievable. Matthew 19 verse 14 says, Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So our responsibility, first of all, find a Bible-based church that teaches the children that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Find a church that will do that to your kids. If it isn't this one, go somewhere else. And I'm like, what do you mean, Marshall? And I says, I am dead serious. Children are the next generation of soldiers to work in the army of Christ. And if they're not being taught, who is going to teach them? Well, we'll get to that in a few minutes. The second that leads children to a saving relationship with Jesus. Find a place that is happening. All right? Find a place. The third, a church that trains a child to love God with all their heart, their mind, and soul, and also trains them to love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds familiar, like a verse in the Bible? Absolutely. These things are to be imparted to your children. So, they know how to treat others. They know how to treat their family in respect and love. Now, church should not be a way your child knows about God, but rather a continuation of the training going on at home. Does that make sense? In other words, your first exposure for your child to know God shouldn't be at the church. It should have already started. When it has started at home, guess what? It'll just be magnified at church rather than like, oh, I never heard this stuff before, right? You don't want your child going to church and say, Mommy, how come you never told me about God? Oh, boy, what? That would be horrible, especially if you grew up in a Christian home or a supposedly Christian home. Anyway, Matthew verse 18, chapter 18, verse 3 says, and Jesus said, I tell you the truth that unless you change and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So you know what? A lot of times us as adults say, well, when my child is a little older, I'll lead them to Christ. I'll have them come to Christ. You know, when they can understand it, you know what? A lot of us are thinking like, when my child starts to think more like an adult, then they'll understand. But that's not what Jesus said right here. Unless you become as a child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, I have some statistics here that says, show that if a child makes a decision for Jesus before, gives their life over to Jesus before the age of 15, that child has a higher percentage of keeping that decision on through their adult years, before the age of 15. By the age 23, it is less than 50%. If your child before age of 23 doesn't take God seriously, it's 50% less. As an adult, as a full-grown adult with all the responsibilities and things of the world to tangle with, the percentage is greatly lowered that they will come and make a serious commitment to the Lord. So, as a child, don't ever think they're too young to make a commitment for the Lord. Ever. The third training is at the school. Now, in the school system today, God is being erased from the equation. You know what I mean? In our public schools today, one of the schools had complained, an outside group of the school had complained that the Ten Commandments was being displayed in the hallway of this public school. The case ended up in court, but the reason was so outrageous that it almost seems like fiction, the reason the court gave to take it down. And this was the reason. The court stated that the students might actually pass by in the hallway and see that the Ten Commandments were posted and actually read them. That was the reason. And they also said that if they read them, they might actually follow them. Oh my, following the Ten Commandments? You know, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill. So what is the world saying? You know what, it's okay to lie. It's okay to steal. It's okay to commit adultery, because we see it all the time in the media. We see it all the time in Hollywood. So why not? Let's just promote this whole thing. It's okay to have other gods before you. It's okay. That's what the world is promoting today. Now, I'm not going to say that all public schools are the same. Do you know? I remember back in the 80s, there was a class, a senior class in Hawaii, that wanted to actually sing a song that Michael W. Smith had just put out. It was called Friends. Friends are friends forever, if the Lord is Lord of them, and so on. Some of you know the words to that song. Now, when people complained that that song, the public schools had complained that that song had too much God in it, the seniors went against the school and sang the song anyway at the end of their ceremony, going totally against what the school and the state had said. In other words, when that school had done it, guess what? At least 10 other schools followed their lead around the nation and said, we're not going to stand for that, and we're going to sing songs that uplift God, even in the public setting, because it was student-led. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what? Also, in the public schools, I say, well, should I only send my kid to private school, to our Christian schools? And I says, no. Why do I say no? Did you know that Taj Pokleb was at Nanakuli High School? And that's where he was doing drugs, smoking, drinking, doing all the stuff that was. And that's also where he found the Lord. And that's also where he started doing Bible studies during his break time and recess in high school. And he actually had a Bible study group in the public school led by a student. This was Taj Pokleb, which all of you probably know very well. He has spoken here probably a few times. That is the very reason why we need our children to go out as a light to the world and not have our light be put out. Amen? And so if this guy can do it, don't say that, oh, well, the only thing my kid can do is go to a Christian school. You know what? Your kid can be the very next Doug Batchelor. Can be the next Taj Pokleb. Do you know Doug Batchelor's background? Living in a cave, totally homeless. I mean, just that was his background. So don't ever put anybody out. Just because they appear to be in the world, that doesn't mean they can't be a light to the world. Well, my mom was a special education high school teacher. And in her years of teaching high school as special ed, it was funny because here she is, juniors and seniors teaching them how to read and write. Still yet, at 17 and 18 years old, teaching kids how to learn to read and write. Now, what happened? Well, simply this. Kids were filed and funneled through the system, and even though they didn't know better, they just kept passing them on, even though they didn't learn the basic skills, right? And now there are in seniors going out into the world, and they don't even know how to read and write. And you think to yourself, wow, what a tragedy, right? How come our education system is failing us? Well, you know what? Our education system doesn't follow the ways of God. Now, I said, well, if they follow the ways of God, does that mean my kid's going to learn to read and write? No, I want to impart this on you. The reason why those kids got passed on is because nobody trained them in the beginning. And the same thing can happen here in our churches. In our churches, we can have kids who are raised in our homes, right? We can have kids raised in our homes all the way till they're 18 and ready to go out in the world. And guess what? When they reach that age, they're gone. You don't ever see them at church again. And sometimes years and years later, by only the providence of God, that they actually somehow tapped into some friend, some family member, some retreat or something, that they're possibly come back to church again. Right? Now, for some of you, church growing up as a kid was the most sane part of your entire week. The rest of the time at home, it was hell. You were being treated unbelievably unfair. Christ wasn't being lifted. Yet you showed up at church with a smile on your face and put on your church face. And as soon as church was over, we'll go back to what we had. Now, I don't know if that was some of your stories, but I know that once upon a time, just a couple of months ago, I was teaching my aerobic class at Spencer's. I'm actually an aerobics instructor. And as I was teaching, I ran into a friend of mine who actually was her father was an elder in our Hilo church. And we got to talking, and now she's much older, I said, hey, by the way, did your kids go to Mauna Loa school? And using some very colorful language, she said, I would never, ever send my kids to that blankety blank school, ever. And with a shocking look on my face, I was like, wow. And I said, knowing the girl and knowing the family, and the father was an elder in the church, home was not a happy home. Yes, they came to church every week, and yes, they appeared that God was number one in the family. But what God? The God of tyranny was the God that she grew up with, and therefore she never identified as God being a loving God and church being a loving church, and forced to go to, in her opinion, forced to go to the church schools that they've been in. Oh, if only things would change. If only things had gotten where they had grown up and started where the parents were actually consecrated to the Lord, consecrated to teaching their child, training them up in the way they should go. Now, I might be hitting a lot of places here, but I'm going to read a few quotes. It says, Socrates actually quoted, I can't teach anybody anything. I can only make them think. Another thing of education, another quote from education says, every child comes with a message that God is not yet discouraged of man. Another Chinese proverb says, tell me and I forget. Show me and I remember, and involve me and I will understand. Paula Poundstone, a comedian, quoted, adults are always asking little kids what they want to be when they grow up because they're looking for ideas, right? Chaim Gino says, children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. So remember that. Whatever falls upon your child makes an impression. The final stage of a child, assuming that this child had grown up the ways that I had seen, starting from the home, starting in the church, trained in the school. Now, it says training in the world is the fourth thing. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that great? So what is our job in showing our children how to live in this world? First of all, I want my child to know that their job isn't to get a job. My training to my child isn't for her to own the biggest house, the nicest car, the nicest this and the nicest that. My first job for my child, and I tell Maggie this all the time, that her number one responsibility is in whatever field, whatever job, whatever occupation God leads you to, that first and foremost is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Because that is your job, commissioned by Jesus himself. So that's my commission for my daughter. Now, that's what I explain and train her every single day. Think about God, pray to God, and she has a very strong personality, kind of like mama and me. And that's a good thing, because you know what? A strong personality, I can see my daughter speaking up here one day, saying the very things that I'm saying to you. I can just see that. But Frederick Douglass says, it is easier to build a strong child than to repair a broken man. Amen? Stacy Tosser says, we worry about what a child will become tomorrow, yet we forget that they are someone today. Remember that. This is not just a little kid that we toss on the side and says, no, 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 no. Train them. Really train them in the Lord. Andy McInner says, if you think education is expensive, then try ignorance. Whew, that's crazy. Are we preparing a generation of children, preparing for the final generation that we are living in today? Are we preparing them for this final generation? Are we showing them to be lights in the world? Are they learning from home how to accept, live, and share the good news of Jesus Christ? Are they learning that? Have you as parents known that your hope is in heaven and not on the things of this earth? Is it the object of why you're raising a child is to have them become a child of God, not your child. They're only on loan to you. But thank God he gave them to you so that you have the opportunity to do what God is trying to do to us. Amen? Have you accepted, number one, and most importantly, have you accepted Jesus Christ in your life so that your child has a model of Christ to follow? Is your child have a model of Christ to follow? Or is the model of Christ, or is the model that your child is following someone on TV, someone in sports, somebody in the media, some game or toy that they're playing with right now? The most important thing is they need to see modeled in your home or in your family's home that Jesus Christ is number one. When he sees that, no matter how much times I may raise my voice, no matter how many times I might scold my daughter, still, number one, I always come back and it's Jesus first, it's Jesus last, and Jesus all in between. Amen? So my prayer for you today is never forget that the training has to start at the home. The training has to move on to the church. The training has to move on to the school and then the world. If the world trains your child first, guess where your child will end up? I don't care if you've been in church all your life. That doesn't mean your child is going to be in church all their life. You need to take this very seriously and pass it on to your children who are raising their children today. Amen? At this time, may we bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity we have. This opportunity of giving back. Giving us the opportunity to give back to our children what you have imparted to us. Help us to learn that education or the training of a child is a responsibility, the same responsibility that you do to us, the same responsibility you've given us the privilege of doing to our children. Help us to take that seriously, and for those of us who have children, to have them take it seriously to their children. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I have a closing hymn. 4, 5, 7. I love to tell the story.